Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I'm not going to be able to do that. Yeah. Participants who join us today, I would love, and also because we all suffer sometimes from forgetfulness, I would like to just take you, give you a short summary reading the Bhagavatam in this seminar. You remember the whole Ausgangspunkt, starting point was. We all know how important reading the Bhagavatam is. Even this morning we heard a wonderful lecture about the importance. But as His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj rightfully remarked, when most of us open the Bhagavatams, the first thing which comes is a dust cloud, because we have neglected the reading it. We have put the Bhagavatam in the shelf. Sometimes we have not even taken it out of the plastic. Maharaj said that even some of us may have taken it out of the plastic, and some of us may have read it. And the Bhagavatam has gone on different bookshelves in different places, still it has not gone into our heart. And that is a problem. So, in this seminar, we want to study or explore possibilities how we can read the Bhagavatam with taste. So, for this, we suggested that you live the Bhagavatam culture. Who remembers what is that? Bhagavatam culture. Yes, Imla? Realize, we have to realize what is inside. Very good. Well, to make Bhagavatam happen, you need two things. You need the book, which teaches passively, and you need the person who teaches you actively. These two need to come together. And the Bhagavatam culture is to read regularly, but also to serve the devotee, Bhagavat, so that you can obtain some realization. I'm sorry, I have not done a very good job. I feel very guilty today because not so many have remembered this, which brings me to the second point. How can you As Imala said so correctly, realize the text of the Bhagavatam. What do you need to do? What steps need to be undertaken? Do you remember? Yes. Shravanam, you need to hear the subject. After you've heard, please let us hear from others also. After we have heard something, we should see if something touches us. We are at the moment at a retreat center, and their motto is "We touch life." So we want to also touch something. We want to touch a point. We want to be touched by a point. So as we hear, we wait until something touches us, and then what do? On the second level, we reflect on it. We may stop even for some time, and we may take it through our. We may remember it. We may speak about it. Reflection can also be done by what Prabhupada said, that we write about it. Prabhupada used to say, every one of you write at least one line, write, because by this writing you will put down what you have realized. Reflecting about it. I must tell you a personal secret. I'm giving now since many years, longer than some of you are old, lectures on the Bhagavatam or lectures on Krishna consciousness. And what I found out is it's a very good way for me to reflect spiritual subjects if I talk about to others. This is really by talking about it to others, you reflect. Thank you very much. I feel some encouragement is coming. What is the third step which we need to do in order to just hold the subject or realize the subject? We should try to apply it. Thank you very much. I'm impressed. Yes. My dear devotees, if you just hear and hear and hear, and you never do something, you never act upon it, you never apply it, the subject will not really nourish you. It might even do the opposite, that you feel, slightly, I've heard that. Only when you actually apply it, will something take place which we could call internalizing. It's almost like when you eat and eat and eat and put it down, but you never digest the subject, the foodstuff, then this foodstuff, I'm sorry to say, it might even turn into toxic things, you know, where you get a headache. So when you hear and hear and hear, but you never apply it, let's say it in the most politest of all terms, it will not really nourish you, like undigested food, which is not nourishing the cells. It is just sits there, but it does not nourish you. So I've sometimes said that sometimes I feel we are not thinking so much about application in our movement, and therefore we remain neophytes without any deep realization. But those, there are many, many, many devotees, I want to say, hopefully the majority, they think of applying it. And that takes some thought process. Now, how can I utilize this? how can I, how will you say, what can I do out of it? How can I really apply this? It takes some, because some things I require a lot of thought in applying it. I remember once Prabhupada told us a story about how important it is to apply things properly. It was a story of a... Now, some of you who speak good English have to help me. A vet... They say in English, because it's such a long word, a vet. But what is the real word?
Veterinarian.
Thank you. The veterinarian. Sounds like a vegetarian, but it's veterinarian. The vet. For simple people like me. There was a very good vet. It's a doctor for animals. And one day a camel was brought to him who was nearly suffocating. So the vet took a bamboo stick and started to beat on the throat of the camel. And the camel was just dying almost from suffocating, started to say, "Ah!" In the camel language, it means it's all right now. and happily lived onwards. So there was the apprentice, the Lehrling, sagt man in Deutsch, who was learning under this experience, veterinarian, this word, you know, TRS. please say the word again.
Veterinarian.
Yes, it is. You are most talented for the session. this, the vet. I say it brief so that. Disciple or pupil thought, this is a very easy method to cure animals. This I also can do without much thing. And he, much learning, and he's opened his own private clinic. Now, after a month or so, many farmers came to the experienced animal doctor and complained, "Your pupil is killing all the animals we bring him." It was a cow who was not able to give birth to calves, and what did he do? He just beat the cow until it died. And then the donkey was brought, and the dog was brought, and all suffering animals were brought, and he was beating them to death. What is this? So the veterinarian, the experienced animal doctor, became really concerned. He went to this pupil who had opened this private clinic and complained, "I'm hearing so many objections to your practice. How do you cure the animals?" I just do what you did. I'm following exactly in your footsteps. I'm taking the stick and beating the animal." "Oh," said the veterinarian, "where did you see me doing this?" "Well, when you cured that camel the other day." "Oh," said the veterinarian, the animal doctor, "you are so unable to apply my teachings. This was a very special case. The camel had swallowed a melon, and the melon got stuck in the throat. Therefore, it suffocated. And I needed to break the melon, which was stopping the air supply, and in this way save its life. But if you hit animals with bamboo on the bodily parts which need maybe a cream or a bandage or something else, then you kill them. You are too foolish. You do not know how to apply anything. You may never practice curing animals. You are a danger. So this was a misapplication of a teaching. When you hear the Bhagavatam, then you must think a little, reflect first, and then only apply. Hare Krishna. I remember something. I want to make your blood boil. Is it all right for you? No?
Yes.
Once there was loud screaming in an apartment of a devotee in Australia. The Australian police was called and they opened the door, and there they found an example of violence. The husband had beaten his wife. The police said, "You are a devotee, you should not beat anyone, especially not your wife. Why do you do this?" And then the devotee gave an answer. "Well, there is a statement in the Shastra, you should beat drums and you should beat women." Now, first of all, I don't know if this is a statement, but if there is in some situations this, then he certainly understood it wrong and misapplied it. Application, my dear devotees, I wanted to give these two examples about the foolish pupil and the foolish person. It requires some reflection, some understanding, maybe some discussion with good devotee friends, and then you know how to do it. But without application, my dear devotees, your Krishna consciousness will be a pious theory only. Pious it will be, but theoretical understanding. You must transport jnana to vijnana, that is theoretical knowledge to realized knowledge. And the only way to transport this theoretical knowledge from here into the area of realized knowledge is deep as application. That is only possible under deep reflection. So this was a little bit what we discussed so far. Now I want to progress and tell and present to you three qualities that guarantee you that you absorb the teachings of the Bhagavatam and derive full benefit. As you know, we have a wonderful sampradaya, a wonderful line of disciplic succession, or the English word which is used nowadays is lineage. And there are many exalted teachers, and one teacher, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, quoted one verse from the Bhagavatam in which three necessary qualities are mentioned that help you to absorb the subject and therefore benefit. No? Which, and, the verse, I would like to chant it to you. It's from the second canto, 8th chapter, verse 4. Shrimvata Shadaya Nityam Grinatascha Svacheshpitam Kalina Nan Nati Dirgena Kalina Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. It's a beautiful shloka which I think you will love, and you might like to study it more in detail in your personal reading time. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the metta very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna manifested within their hearts within a very short time. In the Sanskrit, there are three qualities given. You must hear the Bhagavatam with Shraddhaya, means faith, Nityam, regularly, and Svacheshtitam, with a special effort. And if you do that, if you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam with faith and regularly, with a special effort, the result will be that you can actually have have the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna manifest into your heart, even within a short time. So I would like to just highlight the three qualities for you so that you can actually get something out of it and transform that into a practice. Remember, without practice, things will not be digested properly and won't nourish your life. So it's important that we learn to practice. And I know what does we need to hear about faith. We need to hear about regular practice and with a special effort. What is that special effort? So first of all, I would like to highlight this quality with faith. My dear devotees, the beautiful goddess of faith, that's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes her, has one dwelling place. And if you go to this dwelling place where she resides, then she will come into your heart. I remember when we were children, I lived on an island. I'm an island boy, a nature boy. Beautiful island. And there was one place where my one teacher in the school said fairies would come. And one special night autumn time, if you were there at 12 o'clock, you could see the elves and the fairies. That was what the teacher said. And I do remember I was very interested to go to that place and see the fairies and the elves, but my parents didn't allow me because it was too late, so I never saw them. On that place, I saw somewhere else, but that's another story. But I could never see. But I do remember till this day that my friend Lawrence, he went there at that particular time, and he tells me even now, he's an old guy, he never lies, I saw a fairy and an elf. And such, I don't know. He saw, not saw, I will not say anything. But you can see Shraddha. You can actually see how she comes. She's described as a lady and enters your heart. It's nothing to fear. She is a good lady. And you can find her at a place and a certain time. The place is the association of devotees, and the time is when they actually talk about Krishna. Then you will see how faith enters your heart and empowers you. There's a verse in this connection which I would like to recite to you to instill some faith in you.
Satam prasangam mama viryasam
vidu bhavanti hritkana rasayana kata tachyoshanat ash vapavagavatmani shraddha ratye bhakti anukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, discussions of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and therefore he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. So this is what comes when you are with devotees. It said, then, my dear devotees, you will feel first Shraddha comes in your heart, faith, then real attraction, Rati, comes, and then devotional, high devotional service begins. You will really develop bhakti then. I have one god brother, his name is Keshava Bharati Maharaj, who has developed a practice where he comes together with his other exalted god brothers and they sit on the roof facing Giriraj Govardhan in the time of Kartik, and then they sometimes, I learned, read for 6 hours. Ooh. And they all come out of this practice when they read and discuss this, highly enlivened and enlightened. And I've heard that His Holiness Niranjana Maharaj in Mayapur also goes with other exalted god brothers. They go actually to holy places. Imagine. And there they sit down and they read the holy scripture, the scriptures, because they know in this association faith comes, and not only faith, but after some time, real attraction, and then devotion, bhakti. It comes. It really comes, my dear devotees. It's really there. What I would like to say about this, when you read the scriptures and you read a purport of such a, I would say, fervent devotee as Srila Prabhupada. The word fervent means he's intense. He is not cool or lukewarm, but he is really on fire with enthusiasm, with Krishna consciousness. When you read with the purport the scriptures, something gets stuck in you. Faith comes, in other words. Maybe you don't have so much faith. Maybe you sometimes think it's not, the process does not work for you, etc. But when you read in the association of devotees, it really works. What I also do when I have no association of exalted god brothers, I pray to Prabhupada first that he is there and gives me insights. And I also pray to Shukadev Goswami and the great acharyas whose purports I read, that some realization comes and faith comes. The next item is regularly. And you must do this regularly. My dear devotees, who of you has experience with a water kettle, it's called in English. It's where you boil water. You? No? You need, if you want boiling water, you need to have a regular supply of electricity. You switch it on and off, it will take a long time before the water boils. In the same way, when you switch your Bhagavatam reading on and off, it will take a long time. Maybe you know that maybe you have neglected your reading sometimes and then have tried to come back after a month and you and you find out you're dull as a piece of wood. You can, what was I reading? Oh, I believe also our other Maharaj said sometimes people come to read the sacred scriptures and they, I don't get it. What was it? I remember my own case when I when I had received the article, the peace formula. This was my first piece which I read from Srila Prabhupada. I was very young, maybe 15 years or so. But I was what they call frühreif. I was reading all world literature, and I was reading psychology. This 15, imagine, I had bought 25 volumes of Sigmund Freud, and I was through it in half a year. And I remember I got this magazine, and I tried to read it in the train, but I just couldn't make sense out of what I read. So I decided, I'm going to understand what this Krishna consciousness movement is. Well, let me study it. And I took it into the room. I'm very ashamed to say, but we were young, we were foolish, and we were angry in our young days. I took it in the room where I could understand everything because I was sure I had absolute peace. I took it in the locked toilet, and after everything I tried to read it. I couldn't understand what it is. I said, come on, it's only one page. I tried again. I could not understand a word because I was, my intelligence was simply not manifest. It was there for material subject matters, but not spiritual. And this happens, my dear devotee, also when you switch off, when you are not regularly reading, at that time you find it very difficult to grasp the wonderful subjects and how it all goes together. I would like to read you a text from Padma Purana, which hopefully convinces you how important this regular reading is. I hope I find it really. One moment. I had it before I started. Every place where the Bhagavatam is regularly read becomes a sacred place. All the holy places come to that place. The residents of that place where the Bhagavatam is read regularly, or daily, it says here daily, are blessed with good fortune. All their sinful reactions are entirely dissolved. One can execute 1,000 horse sacrifices, but the results of this cannot be compared with even 1/16 of the benefit which one attains when one hears the Bhagavatam. So daily, that's very important. It's very, very important. The Padma Purana says, if you can't read at least one verse, here it says, if you want to reach the highest perfection, then you should read every day at least one verse of the Bhagavatam. At least one verse. Can you do this?
Yes.
One verse? The young devotees always say yes. We are not interested in your enthusiasm at this moment. We are interested in the reality of conditioned souls. No? If you want to obtain the highest perfection, then you should every day at least read one Bhagavad verse. If you can't make it and recite one verse, then recite at least half a verse. Yes, but you must do it regularly. Imagine, remember the little example with the boiler of hot water. There must be a continuous input of electricity to bring it to the boiling point. If you do it, my dear devotees, you will bless your life and even the life of those who are together with you, who live together regularly. Nityam, very important. With a special effort. You must read the Bhagavatam. With a special effort. I want to ask you, what do you think could a special effort be in reading Bhagavatam?
Attention.
You must read with special attention. You must make the effort to be attentive. What else comes to mind?
Feeling.
Sorry?
Feeling.
I can't.
With a feeling.
With a feeling. You must read with a special effort to feel some. You are from Italia. That is easy for you, but I don't know. How will I make an effort to read with feeling? I mean, feelings happen to come to me or not, but in Italia we have feelings always. Yeah, good, good. I'm learning from you. Yes. We must make the effort to be like an empty pot. That means in the receiving, we must be open. Krishna Prema Rupa.
We reserve a specific time where we dedicate everything.
Oh, wonderful. This is an effort, really. Very concrete effort. We can reserve a certain time where we read the Bhagavata. Mm-hmm. And even if something comes in between, I have to do my Bhagavatam. Sorry, we say on our mobile phone. Mm-hmm. My effort is here. Yes, anyone else? Very good answers. Yes, I can't see so good. Which
as
is
a service. As a service.
As a service, I do this for service. No? Shravanam Kirtanam is my service. Yes. Yes. Advaita singer. When you get old, I can see only up to here. It's very pleasant. I don't need to see so much of this world. This glass is for seeing here, close. And I have another pair of glass for the distance, but I only use it when I'm at the back of a temple and want to see the deities. That's my deity spectacles. Yes. So I can't really tell your names because I see you as effulgent Vaishnavas, but not the details. Yes,
make a vow, like you chant every day 60 rounds, you can make the vow every day, read Bhagavatam and be strict on it.
You can make a vow every day, be strict on so much time. I know Keshava Bharati has a vow, like he wants to read. Do not know.
41 pages.
41 pages. Why 41? Is it?
In 1 year, you read the whole Shrimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
I made it count.
Oh, yeah.
41 pages. 1 year.
How creative. Yes. 1 year the whole Bhagavatam. Nice.
Try to live according to what
we can live according to what we have read. Make that effort. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To please Krishna.
Wonderful. Yes. Yes.
To get the association of Krishna.
To get the association of Krishna. Ooh, high class Vaishnavi, thank you.
One should pray.
One should make the effort to pray that some realization is there. Thank you very much. There are many more. When I prepared for this class, I found a verse in the Bhagavatam where Shukadev Goswami, where Suta Goswami said how he read or heard the Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami, what he did. And he said, I heard him with rapt attention. And thus, by his mercy, I learned the Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. So Prabhupada writes something about this. He says, one should hear with rapt attention from the real person. And then, listen to this, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. And then he continues. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. Rapt attention. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. You know, because so many things are in the mind. We just can't bring it into an hearing. Properly with attention. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. You must also act properly, then the mind can be pure. And no one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly, means like certainly, see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of the Bhagavatam. This rapt attention is a product of having pure habits, pure actions, and a pure mind. And this again brings us to the point of Bhagavatam culture. This is a divine book, and you must become, or try to become at least, a little divine or pure. That is, pure habits, pure actions, and pure mind. That will help very much, my dear devotees, when in your life you avoid activities which occupy your mind. Many times after this, quarrels with others occupy the mind very much. Bad relationships, you know, misunderstandings, but also irresponsible mental intake, means reading things or seeing things which are not good. You know, if you, I know many of us see, or many of you see movies. I know that it's the taboo to talk about it, but we are the family, we can talk. You must be very careful. There's often things which are not favorable for Krishna consciousness and which get stuck in the mind. Violence, overt erotic scenes, just things which are very Kali Yuga like, and then it stays in that. Because you are not an ordinary person, but you are on the spiritual path, you must learn mental hygiene. This is very important. Not just physical hygiene, mental hygiene. If you have no mental hygiene, how will you focus on pure things? It is just another dimension. It won't go to you. Good. Just as a little contemporary thing. When there's something which you know will influence you, don't look there in that direction. Don't engage your mind with it in this direction, and it will stay. I want to tell you personally, I did today a mistake. I saw a video today with some quarrel between two devotee groups. It was an intense quarrel. It sometimes, unfortunately, happens when Kali Yuga comes. And even now, where I see this, where I saw this in great detail, I mean, I can't help there. I'm here, and this is in another country, and so on. Even now, when I went to bed and slept, I had a nightmare, you know, crazy nightmare. I don't even want to tell. I mean, it's not necessary to tell a nightmare in a lecture. So it left its imprint on my mind, and I wish I would have only seen it for 5 minutes. That was sufficient, but I saw it for 90 minutes. So it's in there. But it will go when I listen to Kirtan of the devotees. But anyways, I want to just say very practically and not theoretically. Good, my dear devotees. Now we have heard so much about Bhagavatam. Now we want the Bhagavatam to happen. I want to speak about the Bhagavatam. Now, I have prepared for you a Bhagavatam Katha, which is very amazing, but I'm looking at the clock and I'm not sure if I can do justice, because I will stop in 7 minutes. Let me just end this class then with something else, something which is interesting. I heard it from one very eloquent Vaishnava and wonderful devotee, His Grace Ravinda Swarup Prabhu, who said once, we had a BBT meeting in South Germany, and he wanted to highlight how special the sacred literature is. And he said, these are words of power. They can affect something. And he gave a very nice example of a word of power. He said, when a general on a battlefield screams, "Attack!" Some of you are sleeping, so then so many people start to move, and political borders are changed. Or when a priest in a black tala says to a man and a woman, "I declare you man and wife," this has a huge effect. It is something long or something short, depending on how serious they take it. It's a word of power which comes. If I would say "attack," like I said just now, nothing happened in the room, because I can't use this word of power. I'm not in the position. But when a pure devotee like Shukadeva Goswami, and then Prabhupada as his commentator, or who writes the Prabhupada, describes something, these are not just words, but they are words of power which can affect a profound change in your consciousness. They have this power. There was once a very nice king. he told his minister, go in the evening on the marketplace, and when you meet a merchant who has not sold all his merchandise, buy what is left. We want to make some economic, we want to boost the economy. So the minister went in the evening on the marketplace, and almost everything was sold. Then finally he came to a man who was selling birds, caged birds. And there was one parrot left, and the parrot, the minister said, well, what's the price of the parrot? Oh, said the merchant, very expensive. It's 10,000 rupees, which was a lot at that time. 10,000 rupees? Are you crazy? It's only a simple parrot. You will see, he's not a simple parrot. You don't need to buy it, said the merchant, but my price is fixed, 10,000 rupees. So the minister had the order from the king, so he paid. He paid in gold. He took the parrot with him, and the parrot, while he was carried, started to speak to the minister. Srimadasvakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. And then he said, you don't understand? The minister said, I don't know Sanskrit. And the parrot said, it means those who hear regularly about Krishna, the super soul in everyone's heart, hear that the Lord will remove all the obstacles on their path. Oh, really? Wow, you're speaking, parrot. Well, now you're speaking, said the minister. And he brought the parrot and presented it to the king. And as it turned out, the parrot used to chant verses. The parrot used to chant, explain them. The parrot was really a Sanu parrot. The king was very, very happy to have such a parrot, and he put the cage on the entrance of his palace, so everyone who came by was addressed lovingly and spiritually by the parrot. Hi, Lord! And like that. So, after months, the king said, let's boost the economy. You can go in the evening to the market, and whatever is left over and could not be sold, we buy it. Our government buys it. So the minister went, and there was some sabjis which he brought. But then he came to the same merchant who had also a parrot in a cage. He said, oh, you could not sell this parrot? Is it 10,000 rupees is a high price, no? And then the merchant said, no, this is only 30 rupees. But it's the same parrot? And it's not the same parrot. What is that parrot? At least the brother of that other parrot. Why is he sushi? Now you will find out. The minister gave 30 rupees, took the second cage, and as he was going home, the parrot started to address him, you rascal. Every time you open your mouth, you should be arrested for air pollution. He didn't say this. This is what Muhammad Ali once said to someone he was fighting with. But he said something similar. And the minister came home to the palace. He was trembling. He was offended 1,016 times by that parrot. And he brought this parrot to the king, who wanted to see the purchase. And he said, what did you bring? I brought a criminal here. And then the parrot started to address the king. You foul, lazy guy. You are just eating what the people give you. The king said,
What is that parrot? I don't know.
Go and find out what that parrot is. So that they went. He went to the merchant and he said, why is there such a difference? Listen to the answer. The first parrot was staying with devotees and heard every day Bhagavatam and what the devotees said, talked amongst themselves. And he was formed by that association. The other parrot was somehow kept by criminals, and he kept that association, learned that language. So they put the second parrot near the bathroom. So whenever someone went to the bathroom, the parrot started to get on his case, and he stopped his, he finished his business rather quickly and got out of the bathroom. It also had a use, in other words. So the point of this is, have association with the Bhagavatam. Have the association with words of power, and you will see how you are for sure changed in every way, every day, to the positive thing. Tomorrow is a pause. We will sing all day the holy name, but the day after tomorrow we will start a Bhagavad Katha, where we hope that Bhagavatam will happen, that you will feel something. I want to go from the based on the Bhagavatam into the most controversial figure of the Bhagavatam, and glorify the Bhagavatam and Lord Krishna by telling you about the great devotee Vritasura. Very controversial, very interesting. Now I want to introduce one devotee who came today to us. It is Dhruva Prabhu. Come here please, Dhruva. Dhruva grew up in the Mayapur Gurukul and served His Holiness Bhaktivedya Puna Maharaj there, and he became for many years the personal servant of His Holiness Indraduna Maharaj. The reason why I request Dhruva to come to you and address you all is because he is a great devotee of Lord Nrisimhadev, and as his service to the Lord and the Vaishnavas, he has published a book which he will introduce to you in a moment, which is just a Nrisimha Darshan. Because today is the day of Nrisimhadev, Tuesday is reserved for Lord Nrisimhadev. He just came in time, and I will. Maybe Dhruva, you want to stand that every over you.
Yeah.
I will give you a microphone. He will tell you about this book, which is a darshan book, and I think he is not stingy. You can look at it while you're here. Thank you.
So, I'd like to introduce to you this beautiful project I've been working on for 18 years now. And, it's finally complete after so long. So, as Maharaj was saying, it's a beautiful, it's more like a visual darshan of the lost, mysterious temples of Lord Nrisimhadev. And over the past 18 years of my life, when I was younger, I don't know, I became obsessed with Lord Nrisimhadev, like for some of us, we become obsessed with, I don't know, collecting cars or baseball cards or whatever cool things. I was obsessed with him. So I always used to tell my wife when I was, she would so kindly let me leave to go on an adventure to find more temples. She would say, when are you coming home? And I would say, well, it could be worse. I could be addicted to something worse, but I'm addicted to Lord Nrisimhadev. So then I would get away with more time searching his temples out. the thing that completed the book was a friend of mine. He's a professional photographer, so over the 18 years, technology, when I started cataloging this book, I had like really old cameras and digital cameras that were only like 1 megabyte. So all the tens and thousands of photos I accumulated over the years were not beautiful enough. They were beautiful, but the quality wasn't the way I wanted to present it to the world, his deities. So this amazing guy, Damodar, and I set off on a 4-month journey, and I bought an old Jeep, like a 30-year-old Jeep that worked sometimes. And we drove, well, I drove about 30,000 kilometers through South India and tortured Damodar, because when you drive in India, you have to drive like an Indian. And I don't, you know, it was perfect for me, because growing up, my parents always used to say, "Dhruva, why don't you just follow the rules?" And I said, "I don't know, it's just, maybe I was Indian in my last life." So it was a perfect place for me to search out Nrsimhadev. And we didn't sleep much or eat much. It was just, yeah, Damodar got wrapped up in this kind of avalanche of Narsimha. Yeah, Narsimha. And it was like, in the beginning, he was like, I can't do this. I think you need to find someone else. And I said, come on, man. There's worse things we could be doing, you know? Just stick it out, you'll see. It'll just hit you like a, I guess, I've never tried drugs, but it'll just hit you like a drug and you'll be high. And after the first couple of days, he was burying through it. And then after about a week, he just came to me and he said, like, I get it. Let's not stop. Let's go. So this book before you is pretty much his and I's adventures going to the temples, and then the historic account from the Brahmins and the local priests, and just like a really unique,
like a cool,
like a visual experience, rather than like a book of Nrsimhadev facts and figures. I wanted to bring the devotees. I want them to see him, like. Because many devotees, you know, you have jobs, you have a life. And we're not so lucky to have a wife like I had, where she would let you just take off whenever you wanted, you know. And so I basically bring you with Damodar on this pretty awesome journey. And through the years, I realized, learning from the great, like, sadhus and babas and swamis I met throughout India, not just South India. Nrsimhadev is not just in South. In the beginning, when my guru Indradumna Swami told me, yes, he's there in Ahobalam, he's in South India. That's where all his temples are. So I believed that, and the first place I met was Ahobalam. I was a young man, and when I was there, I met some rather educated Hindus, and they said, you know, there's other Nrsimhadev temples in Maharashtra. I said, oh? They said, yes. So they gave me an address. And then it just happened one after another, finding like 300 plus temples in Andhra Pradesh and in Maharashtra, and then Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Karnataka, Orissa, even up as far as Darjeeling in the Himalayan mountains. There's the oldest temple in India, and it's a Nrsimhadev temple. So in each state would worship him differently, in a different flavor, a different mood. And it was so cool for me, because I was so used to growing up in ISKCON, and it's just not necessarily one-sided, but I'd always seen just this painting of Ugra Nrsimha, you know, tearing Hiranyakashipu apart. So I thought, that's the only form.
But
as I became more educated in his mysterious, awesome culture, I realized that there's so many forms. He manifests in so many different ways to so many different devotees. Like the tribals who had no money, they would worship sometimes a stone, and they would mark the symbols of Nrsimha on that stone. The one village, they worshipped a transcendental lion. They actually carved a deity of a lion because they were very poor. And then they marked him with tilak and sunken chakra, and they worshipped him to protect them from the tigers that would kill them during the time they were planting. So many cool places and situations like that. I kept learning more about him, and I realized I absolutely knew nothing about him. And still to this day, I keep, through his cool devotees I meet, I thought I was so into him, and I realized they're really into him, because a lot of them are worshipping him, or it's a disciplic succession of Nrsimhadev worship. And the amazing thing about Nrsimhadev, we all know, is he's the remover of obstacles. But what does that actually mean? I always thought, you know, he makes life easy. Well, not necessarily. He removes our conditioning, so the intestines of Hiranyakashipu represent lust, anger, greed, pride, right? Ego. He wasn't killing the demon necessarily. He was killing those anartas that filled the demon, Hiranyakashipu. That's what Prahlad wanted removed. He didn't want his father killed. He wanted those desires of Hiranyakashipu to control, to be the only one, to be removed. So a lot of the paintings you'll see, Prahlad Maharaj is smiling because he knows Lord Nrsimhadev is removing these things from his father and freeing him. So that's one of the most far out realizations I had, is understanding that, yeah, he's not a giver, Lord Nrsimhadev. Like sometimes we worship the demigods, or in Hinduism they worship Ganesh, Shiva, this one, that one, right? Because they give good health, good wealth, good money, la-di-da, right? But in essence, I found living this lifestyle of Nrsimhadev, he takes, that's his giving. So, and often it's celebrated in India, but through ISKCON I realize it's not known so deeply, that how we think loss, like I might lose my family or something might be split, you see, from our life. But actually it's a blessing. That's what Lord Nrsimhadev gives us. He removes our ego, which he's still doing to me quite a bit. And it's a blessing, because dealing with whether we're married or whether we're brahmachari or whether we're old, we still have ego. So dealing with these beautiful devotees I've met on this journey of Nrsimhadev temples, they're so kind and giving. Like, they're worshipping these amazing deities, Ugra and Yoga and Lakshmi Nishama and Jwala, so many different names and so many different forms. But they're so open, like their hearts, like they would just open their doors and be like, of course, please come. And they're like, well, why are you here? Some of them would know little English and say, why are you here? And I said, I'm here to see your God. And they would be like, so happy. And so, yes, come, please see him, see them. Some children, too, in the villages, they would scream, come see God, he's alive. And in some of the temples, he, in a sense, was. Not that I could directly see him, but it's a feeling of worship through his devotees, their love. So then naturally that brings the Lord essence, his essence, more clearly, and you can feel it. And and his temples are on top of mountains and caves, sometimes in tunnels underground, like so beautiful, so mystical. So yes, many years of love. Oh yeah, sure. You can either, the book's available, you can either order it through me, or there's a devotee called Uttama Shloka Prabhu. You can obtain it through him, or even at the Zurich temple, Krishna Paramprabhu, you can speak to him. So either one of those three. But if you'd like to look at the book, you're more than welcome. And there's so much more to tell. I'll tell you a quick 2-minute story. Almost towards the end of our visit, Damodar was begging me to take him to Ahobalam. And I think I've been to a hovelam maybe 100 or more times over the years, and it's like a home, you know. But I hadn't been for a couple of years because of my child and so many things. So he convinced me, and we only had a couple of days. And it was like a 1,000-kilometer drive from where we were. So we're driving, and it's getting towards dusk. So that's the time when Lord Nishimadev appeared. And we're driving through this area called Krishnagiri. And it's between Andhra Pradesh and Karnataka. It's a very eerie place. There's thousands of palm trees with the heads chopped off. And Damodar was always quite scared. I was always like, let's go. It's the middle of the night. Let's go into the cave. And he's like, Dhruva, no, don't. Please, just wait. He was like my reason. He always like was looking after me because I would just run into a situation if Nishimadev was there. And he said, Dhruva. So I said, let me stop and take a photo. This is really weird. I like this. And he said, no, please. I don't like the vibe here. So I never listened to him, so I stopped and was taking photos, and I just had this feeling, sometimes I would get like, hey, look over there. And then I looked over and there was an archway, and on top was a deity of Lakshmi Narasimha. So Damodar wouldn't get out of the car, so I was screaming, Damodar, look, there's a Narasimhadev temple. I knew it. And he was like rolling his eyes because he didn't like it. You know, that situation. I said, we have to go there. He said, Dhruva, please, just, I need to sleep. I said, you will, you will. And I started driving down the dirt road, and there was a guy on a motorcycle. And he was Muslim, so I speak Hindi, so Urdu and Hindi is kind of similar, so you can understand. So I asked the young man, is there a Nishimha temple down there? And he said, yes. And I said, well, how far? He said, 5-6 kilometers. I said, okay, cool. He said, but the last 1-2 kilometers, you have to go through the jungle. And I said, okay, cool. And Damodar, he was asking me, what is he saying? I said, oh, there's a temple 5 kilometers, and then he's right there. It's fine. Don't worry. So, and he knew I was lying. He figured it out in the end, my lies. And I said, the kid says right there, man, let's go. This is amazing. One more temple I've never seen. So we start driving and it's getting darker and darker. And we get to the end of the road and it's a dried out riverbed. And Damodar says, well, where's the temple? And there was just a small path into the jungle. I said, he said it's like in there, like up the hill. And he said, no. No, I'm not doing it. I'm done. So, okay, give me the camera. I'll go myself. And the wind started blowing and howling. It was actually quite a, not a creepy place, but a very mysterious place. He said, Dhruva, I don't have a good feeling. I said, this is Nishimadev and you don't have a good feeling. So I took the camera and the flashlight and I started walking up the hill and he's screaming, Dhruva, don't leave me. I said, then come. And I start, and I vanish into the darkness. And I hear Damodar screaming and rushing. And then he faded away by the time I got to the top of the hill. And at the top of the hill, I looked and I could see a light very far away in the distance, much farther than a kilometer. And I knew that was the temple. And then I heard this big bang. And Damodar was screaming, Narasimhadev, Dhruva! Please, what about your family? What about your child? Now he was manipulating me. He said, I'm not like Prahlad Maharaj. I can't do this. Just come back. So I had to make a decision. Nishimadev or Damodar's anger the rest of the trip. So I told Nishimadev, forgive me. This time I have to choose him. And I walked back down the hill. The thing is, when I was walking back down, there was these like sound, like something was chasing me, you know. Could have been like a bear or something. And I had the wind started picking up and Damodar was screaming louder and louder, and I finally got to the van. He said, Dhruva, there's something out there. I saw it. Get in the van. And I got in the van and slammed the door. And then the tree started shaking, like something was running towards us, and Damodar is chanting the Nisringa prayers, and I turned the key in the ignition, and it didn't start. So then he's screaming, and it went from Nisringa prayers to cursing me, and then I said, just calm down. And then I did it like one more time, and the car started, and we started driving away, and immediately when we drove away, everything just went peaceful. The wind stopped. Everything stopped. And then we carried on to Ahobalam. Damodar didn't talk to me the whole way there. But yeah, he got over it. And it was a really mystical experience, but it was the first time I didn't just go to the Nisringa Dev temple. And so that's going to be probably an adventure by myself next time. So there's a story. Those are the types of stories that are in the book. And thank you so much, Maharaj, for letting me have this time. Thank you all, wonderful devotees. May Lord Nisringa protect us all. Jai Shri Prabhupada.
You made a whole scene come up before our eyes, and I was afraid also. Thank you very much, and Durga Prabhu will be here. You can really, it's really, you will have a darshan of Lord Nisringadev or darshans, which are extraordinary. Thank you very much. We see each other in the evening again. Thank you. And Damodar, not Damodar, Damodar was screaming. Dhruva, I see her. Please remember the Bhagavatam is waiting. Those of you who have not yet read today, you might get into half a verse before you go to bed. Hare Krishna.